our speaker this morning, I think it's interesting, our missions folks, a bunch of missions folks, went up to the ICOM, but Daryl is here to share from a mission perspective with us. Daryl, actually, this is Daryl Willis. He's the Vice President for Eastern European Mission. He spent 18 years in youth ministry. That's awesome. The frontline mission field right there. And then he spent 12 years preaching right over here in Ennis. And now he is involved with Eastern European missions, and in particular, I guess, in the Ukraine area. And he has a display out there that would be well worth your time and effort to take a look at. But, man, we just want to welcome you, Daryl, and thank you for being here with us and sharing together. What a powerful day of South America and Eastern Europe. So, Daryl, would you come and share with us? Welcome.
How do I follow that? I mean, yeah, golly, I tell you what, it is great to be here and wonderful. I do hate that the guys and gals are gone to the mission conference. I don't hate that they're gone, but Kevin Schaffer, who is one of those guys, is gone, went to Ukraine with our teams this last summer. So I was kind of hoping he would be able to reconnect with him and see him. But that's okay, because you know what? This is a great student body. It is good to see you again. I was here last year for like 5 minutes and spoke for about 5 minutes, but I am so thrilled to be with you guys. Yes, I was in youth ministry for 18 years. I affectionately called that Director of Wildlife. And it certainly was. And then I took a demotion, started preaching for 12 years, and after wandering in the wilderness of the preaching ministry, I find I am now back in the promised land. I get to work with kids again, which is an incredible, incredible thing. Let me see. I just want to make sure that my perspective is all right there. I did this at Lubbock Christian University last week, and they had the display in the back so I could see the PowerPoint, you know, and it wasn't working on my display, but it was working behind me. So I'm going, what's wrong with this thing? And all the slides kept advancing. So, I mean, well, go figure it out. You ever want to be a hero? Like, come on, you really did that. Yeah, you want to be a hero. Yeah, everybody wants to be. I don't mean wearing tights. That can be embarrassing, especially for people. Yeah, never mind. People like me, you know, it doesn't work. You know, capes, tights, this doesn't work. I'm not talking about superpowers or amazing things like that, but I'm talking about making a difference in another person's life, making a significant difference in one other person's life, and thereby making a difference in the entire world itself. I think we all want to be someone like that, someone who changes the world one person at a time. So my question is, what's it like? Okay, that's not working. Let's try that again. There, up, back that up, will you? There you go. So my question is, we'll get this worked out. Is today Monday? It feels like Monday at times. Okay. What's it like to be a hero? That's what I want to ask you. What's it like to be a hero to someone like that? What's it like to be a hero to someone like this? Or maybe someone even like that? Well, this year, 25 Americans discovered what it meant to be heroes to approximately 1,000 Ukrainian children and adults. And it was really unique because the president of the Youth Camp Association, which is a secular organization, that we actually work with secular youth camps. I don't work with Bible camps. I figured the local churches can do that. I don't want to do and take away from the local church what the local church ought to be doing, but we're being asked to go into these secular youth camps. The president of the Youth Workers Association that runs the camps generally, Alexander Pacheco, he called our team members, those 25 American team members, he called them all heroes. Now, I got to tell you something. I traveled with Alexander since 2009. I go every year over to Ukraine for approximately 6 to 8 weeks in about 3 different times throughout the year. And Alexander travels with me quite a bit, and he has never, ever, ever called our teams heroes. But this year, as he met with the three teams, met individually with them, he looked them all in the eyes and he said, "You guys are heroes." What's the difference? since 2009, actually since 2006, seven. I just jumped in as a Johnny-come-lately. What changed this last year? Well, two things I think that really demonstrated that they were heroes in a real sense of the word. Just two simple things. It might be something simpler than you can imagine, but it's something that that's not easy at the same time. One, they showed up. They showed up. Because at this time in the history of Ukraine, everybody's running away from Ukraine. If you've been paying any attention to the news, you know, most people had no idea what Ukraine was, you know. They say it was like an Aston Martin, big and beautiful, and nobody seems to know what it is, you know. But now everybody knows where Ukraine is. Everybody thought it was Russia. No, it's Ukraine. It's the largest European nation next to Russia that's completely in Europe. It's the size of Texas. It's big. Nobody really knew what that was, but people that had been there, when all of a sudden the conflict started happening beginning in November, when Maidan, the little square in the middle of Kiev, started erupting some in violence, people just started pulling their people out and running as quick as they could. Even the Peace Corps left in February, and it was like, we're talking two blocks in the middle of Kiev, and the Peace Corps, which is all throughout Ukraine, left. So many people were running away. So many people were deciding that we're not going to go to Ukraine this year because it just seems to be a little bit dangerous. It's amazing how just showing up made a huge difference in the lives of people. It's a matter of showing up in a world where everyone is running away from discomfort. Everyone is running away from pain because we just don't like that concept. We don't like, you know, hurt. You know, our thing is not no pain, no gain. Our thing is no pain, no pain. You know, it's showing up. Being a hero is a matter of showing up. When your roommate is going through a difficult time because her boyfriend dumped her, and frankly, you don't have time for this drama. Yeah, come on. You get over it, you know? But instead, you show up anyway. You just hang out. And you listen to it go on and on and on when you know you need to be studying right now. But you show up because, you know, she needs you at that moment. It's showing up when you have the opportunity to walk into perhaps the most loneliest and painful places in the face of the earth, the most uncomfortable places in the face of the earth, and that's a nursing home. Well, whether people are abandoned or not, at least they feel abandoned. And you show up and you love on people anyway, even though you're not comfortable in loving on them. It's showing up when instead of collecting a bunch of gifts for some toy run for an orphan's home and children's home that everybody does in Christmas time, you say, no, I'm going to commit to showing up at that children's home and spending time with those kids because they need my time more than they need my toys. Right? Yeah. It's showing up when a colleague or a fellow student's parents are going through a painful and messy divorce and somehow they think they're the reason for it. But you're there to cry with them all night long if that's what it takes. Not to offer your advice, but just to listen. It's showing up and hanging out with people that nobody wants to hang out with, to be quite honest about it. My wife was with a group of teenagers, and there was an event that we used to have down in Churches of Christ used to do this. It was it's called Youth Wave, Youth with a Vision for Evangelism. Go down to Austin, Texas, and it was not really street evangelism. It was a matter of just trying to introduce people to decent human beings who happen to love Christ and get to know people, and rather than just try to beat them over the head with the Bible just to build a relationship with them. And so she was out there with these teenagers, and they were handing out flyers to this event in a park where they're going to have, you know, family event, games, food, and all that on a Saturday. So she's downtown Austin, and she sees this group of homeless folks sitting underneath a tree. She grabs this teenager and says, come on, let's go. And he's going, really? So yeah, come on. So she goes over there, she hands them out the flyer, and then just sits down in the middle of them and just spends 2 hours talking with them. And they're just visiting with each other. And after 2 hours, she looks at her and says, oh my goodness, I've got to get going because they're going to be waiting on me. And so she gets up to walk off, and the girl that was among them looks at her and says, You know, lady, people always are throwing money at us. Nobody ever sits down with us and talks to us. Thank you. It's a matter of showing up. And isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what he did? You know the passage, do I have to quote it? John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, God was the Word, and verse 14, and the Word became flesh, set up his tent, and lived among us, and we saw him, the glory of the one and only begotten God, full of grace and truth. You see, God just didn't broadcast down to us from the heavenly PA system saying, I love you. He came down and walked among us. He lived among us. God showed up. Amen. And you want to be a hero, that's what you do. You show up when everybody else is running away. But there's more to it than that. That's not the only reason Alexander called these group of folks heroes. I want you to listen to and read the statement yourself. In meetings with EEM team members, I told them I believe they're heroes and I admire their heroic act. The visit to Ukraine in such a difficult period. We are infinitely grateful to them for their courage, love of our children, for our country, for the help of the upbringing of the younger generation. You see, it isn't just a matter of just showing up. They didn't just teach about showing up. They didn't just teach about love. They didn't just teach about those kind of things. Instead, they actually did what they were teaching. They demonstrated courage and love themselves. They walked their talk. They lived out their theology. However you want to call it, that's what they did. And that made a profound difference. They discovered just how important embodying God's love is in a world where talk is cheap. Since 2007, we've been teaching character traits such as love, endurance, and courage to campers. And this year, 25 volunteers backed up what they taught by living out endurance and courage and love to those campers. I got to tell you, one of my workers who's been going for 3 years just got an email from a person she hadn't seen in 2 years. Well, not the person, but the person's father. This girl would be 16 years old now. So I don't know how old she was when our team worker had taught her. But her father instant messaged her and said, would you please pray for her? She has perished. You don't get that. You don't get emails like that unless there's some sort of meaningful relationship going on. Some guy that just shows up for a couple of weeks out of a year doesn't get that kind of an email, doesn't get that kind of a message. It comes because someone demonstrated love to somebody else. It's a time when people show up during the most difficult time in the lives of Ukrainians. I got to tell you something. Most of the people I work with, most of the people our kids work with, or our college students and adults work with, have never experienced communism. Because they're under 25 years old. They've never experienced war and conflict. So right now, this is a traumatic time for them. And when people show up and when people live out their faith, it impacts them in an amazing way. You see, it's more than telling people you love them. It's more than telling people they need to love people. It's a matter of loving people. It's more than telling people they need to endure. It's enduring. It's more than telling people they need to be courageous. It's being courageous. And it's amazing how taking, and let me be honest with you, it was totally low risk. It was not a big risk for our teams. But yet, because they know the hype that we hear, they know that it's so easy for us to stay home. But people like you said, no, I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to show up and I'm going to live out my faith. You cannot imagine the impact that was made. You want to be a hero? Simple. Not easy, but simple. Two things. Show up, live out your faith. show up, walk your talk. But it doesn't happen naturally. It happens supernaturally. But do not think for an instant that supernaturally means without effort. God's Holy Spirit working in you, changing your life, making where you can touch another person's life. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's not without effort, because you can read your Bible all day long. You can pray all day long. There's a Peter, Paul, and Mary song. You can read out your Bible. You can fall down on your knees. You can pray to the Lord, pretty mama. It ain't going to do you no good. That's right. It's not going to do any good unless you take a risk and take a step of faith. That's what it's got to be, a step of faith. Even if it's a small incremental step, like listening to a friend in trouble, like telling the Jesus story to someone that you know, like serving someone who's very different from yourself. I get to be a part of a little church in Dallas area. I drive up from Ennis to Dallas to go to be with this great group of folks. And they're working with a small immigrant community in Victory Meadows, Dallas. And we're reaching out to a group of Muslim Iraqis. And it's really amazing, because that's kind of scary at times to you. But when you suddenly realize that they're humans just like you are, and they love just like you love, and they have the same kind of feelings at times that you have, they invited us to a birthday party for a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, little boy and little girl. And they had us all over, and they served us cake and ice cream out there, but it was Ramadan, so they didn't eat. They just served us and loved on us. It's reaching out to people that you may feel a little uncomfortable reaching out to. It's taking an incremental step of faith. But you got to start now. You see, I'm not interested. I am interested. I want to recruit you, okay? I want you to go to Ukraine with me this next summer. I really do. But I'm not interested in recruiting you to do something next summer, because you need to start right now. It's about right here, right now. Because if you don't take the step of faith now, it is so easy to never take a step of faith. It is so easy to avoid the difficult. It is so easy to avoid the risk. So you got to start now. This is mission. This is ministry. This is heroism. Now, I'm going to beg your indulgence. I'm going to show you a 3-minute video about the youth camp program. Then I'm going to get back up here. Vanya. Little Vanya, the guy that was actually doing the camera work was Vanya as well. He's big Vanya. So my favorite part when I'm looking at all that footage was when we were saying, okay, big Vanya says little Vanya, okay, I want you to say cool. Then I want you to count to 10 and say cool again, all right? Okay. Tisla. Adin, dva, tri, chitiri, piat, piat. You want to be a hero? I need heroes. I need heroes, and I need them this summer because it will change the world. One kid at a time, and not just kids, but we also work with the adults. As I mentioned, these are secular camps. They're not Christian camps. So we get to work with kids that may or may not have influence of Christ in their life. We're waiting on you. If you have any interest, talk to me later. Okay, will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, you are Lord God, King of the universe, Creator, Sustainer, the one who holds it all in the palm of your hand, and we recognize you as such, and we praise you for that. We are in awe. And even that is such a trite word, I think, at times. But we stand amazed at you. And we recognize that you are holy, we are not. We recognize that you are pure, we are not. We recognize that you are sinless and we are filled with sin. And yet, you wrap your arms around us, pick us up, and sit straight down in your lap and hold on to us for dear life. And for that, we are eternally grateful and we thank you and praise you. We know we don't deserve it, but we thank you all the same for loving us anyway. Pray, Lord, that you empower us to be your people. Pray, Lord, that you empower us to show up and be there in the lives of those around us that we know are hurting. And to pay attention, help us to pay attention. And help us, Lord, to do what we know to do. Help us just to trust you enough, just to obey you. Right now, I pray your blessing on this student body. I pray that you watch over them. I pray that you change the world through them. And I pray your richest blessings on them. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your listening to this prayer. And thank you for answering it. And it's in your son's name that we all pray. And everyone says, amen.
Thanks, Darrell. Appreciate you coming.